and welcome back to the Racing Postcast, proudly sponsored by Unibet. We have got top-class action in England, Scotland and Ireland across the weekend, and we've got a top-class panel to look over it. Go to you one by one, but first, Brett, I think we'll look back. First running of the Unibet hurdle on Saturday was pretty good, wasn't it, in the end?
Yeah, Lossie Mae, she was very good, wasn't she? I know there was a lot of talk of what race should she go in at the festival, should she go for the mares, or should she go for the Unibet champion hurdle. I think it's sort of pretty much signed and sealed that she's going to stick to her own sex, which is, you know, a bit of a shame for racing fans, because, of course, we love to see these decent clashes. But I think, you know, since the inception of a four-day festival and, of course, the mares races, it's, you know, it's a no-brainer, really, isn't it? You want to try and go where you can win the best prize money, win the best races. So it's understandable. But for us sort of hard, you know, purest racing fans, it's a shame that we don't get to see her take on Constitutional. But there's still, what, 4 or 5 weeks' time? So things can change, as we know. Mr. Munnings does like to change his mind.
They certainly can, and he certainly does. And I'm sure we'll come on to him with the Dublin Race Festival this weekend. Keith, anything take your eye, particularly at Cheltenham on the weekend?
I don't know if I should mention it, because there's a horse that's not yet quoted for the Ultima that ran very well, and I don't want to give the game
that
away.
That sounds fact, absolutely perfect, Keith.
It's it not does. In fact, tell you what, this is a Unibet podcast, and Unibet are brilliant at pricing up anti-post horses. Can I get a price before the end of the show, Brett, about Bow to Greatness for the Ultima?
You can do, but Trevor's, I'm recording this on my phone, so I can't message them. I can email. Okay.
I'm sure by the time the show goes live, that price will be live and Keith Melrose will be getting
it's going to
involved.
Be 14s, isn't it? I've blown myself. I was waiting for 25s here. I'm going to get 14s.
If I'd have offered it, Keith, they'd have put that out 33-1. So maybe that is a mistake. Johnny, come on to you. Dublin Race Festival this week. We know you deal with the Irish handicappers and such. That is as good as it gets, isn't it, for Ireland?
Yeah, it's just a shame that the Gold Cup's not got quite the field that everyone would like to see, but it's still something to look forward to nonetheless.
Absolutely right. Well, you've got plenty to get through, so without further ado, we will, and we start at Sandown in the 125, the Virgin Bet Daily Price Boost Novice Handicap Hurdle. Brett, have you got a look at the market for the first at Sandown that we're looking at?
Yeah, well, good job this is called a price boost race, because we are price boosting the odds of Jingo Blue here. He's a funny sort of horse, isn't he? Because the fact he's having his handicap debut here off a mark of 1-2-4, and he's got entries in the bar in Bingham and the Albert Barlow. I just imagine those are quite speculative, because if those two races are going to be seriously considered, he would have to be bolting up here off this mark and going up to 140, 145 or whatever. I do think he's vulnerable, and he's a favourite at the moment, but I think you can make a case for quite a few others in the race, you know, sort of carrying top weight is going to be difficult for a horse of just, you know, the horse who's only had three runs. There's a few of them, aren't there, who have stepped into this handicap class for the first time, notably 135 Not Out, who's stepping back up in Chibble. That was a good effort last time behind Court in the Act at Kempton. And I quite like Alphys Princess down there. She's the biggest sort of price around 12, 14 to 1. She ran in a listed race at Haydock last time on very, very heavy ground. The sort of slightly quicker conditions, soft, I think, officially at Sandown on Saturday. I think the better ground conditions will suit her. I was talking to Sam Thomas earlier on in the week. He's actually got some good chances later on the card as well. He had a nice winner at Wincanton yesterday, so the team are back in good form. So at a sort of each-way price, I think Alphys Princess on this better ground could be suited. She works really well. And then they've also got Titan Discovery, who's improving through the ranks. Very impressive at Ascot last time. Whether he's reached the ceiling, only time will tell. But up £7, up in trip, that might just eke out a little bit more improvement. But no, I think Alphys Princess each way going to go against a favourite, but I wouldn't rule out 135 Not Out as well. There we are. Yeah. Done the whole race for you.
Just about there, yeah. So Alphys Princess each way at 12-1, taking on the 15-8 favourite Jinko Blue. Johnny, strong view on this race?
Not too strong, but I do like the chance of 135 Not Out. I think it was a pretty good run at Kempton last time out. The step up in trip, I think, will really benefit the horse here. And, you know, the third from last time's come out and won as well, boosting the form, which is always a positive. And I think there's less question marks for me over 135 Not Out than there are over Jinko Blue. And at the prices, I'd definitely much rather be with the Paul Nicholls and Harry Cobden horse. On this occasion, I think he could well win this.
Yeah, 1-3-5 for Johnny Bet. Keith, to finish us off.
Yeah, I was very much like Johnny. 1-3-5, not the strongest bet in the world, but this horse just always, every run I've seen him just about, he's given vibes of being better than a 118 horse, which is a mark he runs off here for his handicap debut. Stoutly bred, so the step up and trip, I can see him being suited by it. Yeah, he's not the strongest bet I'll ever put out there, but he's very interesting, and I think he's the one I'd be putting up.
Okay, and to finish it off, I'd go someone different at all with Classic Anthem. Running well so far this season for Jim Balls, one at the track. I think he's better chance than his odds of 6-1 suggest. Okay, on to the next at Sandown, and this is the Virgin Bet every Saturday Money Back Handicap Chase, a race which features a few familiar names, a few frustrating names, especially if you're a San Siegel fan like me. In exchange with Deo, he's been knocking on the door. I mean, I will come to you first, Johnny. I mean, there's a few frustrating ones in it, let alone Harper's Brook, who's back. I mean, God, that's a horse that that's a cliff horse if ever you've had one, but it's not going to be a friendly one.
I mean, I was going through this race and I sort of, there's a lot of horses that are likable but don't necessarily seem to like winning, which is never what you want when you're trying to find a horse to back. You know, St. Seagull were really liked last time out, ran really well at Lingfield, but just not quite able to put it all together once again. And so they've still got question marks over whether he fully goes through with it at the finish. And Harper's Brook, another one, you know, is he the horse? He was obviously a good run at Ascot, but I'm still not convinced enough. And I think In Excelsis Deo's probably got the best form of the last few races, and this actually looks a lesser race than what he's been running in. I think he probably will be too good here for the rest of them.
Okay, Keith.
Yeah, I've sort of said there's a lot of these horses that I can't really trust. In Excelsis Deo doesn't really win. Has the look of one of those Harry Fry horses that doesn't see much the track. St. Seagull, fan of the horse. He's got one run, I think. And I'm not sure Sandown's going to be his best track. He's a horse that doesn't really win. Harper's Brook is Harper's Brook. We know he doesn't win. And that's Sandown Hill for a horse that just throws its head in the air. Is just not going to be a fun time, I wouldn't imagine. I end up looking at a horsey Red Rookie that is 11-1 outsider of the lot and shouldn't be anything like that price. I'd have put him in half that. He's a horse that tends to be a bit better when it's on slightly better ground. First two runs this season, you know, quite deep ground. He had no chance in those conditions. And then last time at Kempton, he ran over 2.5. He was probably unlikely to stay that distance anyway, but he wore the last ditch and that was the end of him. So I'm willing to forgive him that. He showed a little bit given his conditions again. They stuck cheap pieces on for the drop back to this sort of trip. This is going to be much more like it. Am I saying he's a likeliest winner? I'm not sure I am, because, you know, if an Excelsis Deo fancies it, might well beat him. But I'd be putting Red Rookie in at half the sort of price that you're getting about him. So he is the bet for me.
Okay, so it's the 11-1 outsider, Red Rookie, 9-1 outsider, sorry, Red Rookie for Keith Melrose and Inex Chelsea Doeford for Johnny. Brett, sign us off. Have you got a strong one in this one?
I said it's a tricky one. You can make a case for all of the field, really, can't you? We will be price boosting Inex Chelsea Doeford. So if you do think he'll win, you will get the best odds with Unibet. He's actually been the best backed in the race as well. It was 7-2 a couple of days ago, now into rank 2-1. I'm just going to take a chance on San Segal. I know, as you said, he doesn't win very often. If he can put his jumping together, I think he's got a good shot in this slightly easier opportunity than when he took on First Flow last time, and probably wasn't gone that badly when he fell at Ascot prior to that behind Boot Hill. So San Segal, the tentative selection for me. Harper's Brook, obviously, the interesting one. I think looking back at his form, this is the first time he's actually ran over 2 miles over obstacles. He did finish third in a bumper over this trip, ironically behind Hillcrest, which isn't obviously bad form, but you know, they might go and sort of try and make every post a winning one over this shorter distance. But you know, it's a tricky race, but San Segal just about gets the nod for me.
Okay, and Rhymes signs off with San Segal at 2-1. Right, we'll go on to the big one at Sandown, the Virgin Bet City Isles Novices Chase. Hermes Alain is the big favourite. Brett, is he looking strong through the week? It's interesting race with Corbett's Cross, who looked like he was going to run in the race. He's not declared. Is it all being towards Hermes Alain? He does look the short price favourite here.
Yeah, I'm surprised he's not shorter than he is. We're around 5-4. He was 5-2 again when Decorations first came out. I mean, he is the class horse in the race, really. I know there's, I think there's literally, what, £2 between the top three or four there on the race card. And you've got Le Patron, of course, who won the Henry VIII last time. And Colonel Harry came out and almost scraped him, I thought, at Weatherby last time. So, he's an interesting contender. But I think Hermes Alley is the one you he's got all the best form. That was a cracking run behind Ile France last time in the Quarto Star. Interesting, they're stepping back down in trip, but we all know that Sandown is a stiff course, so you know stamina really will come into play. This is a cracking race, isn't it? You know, it's probably might just get slightly overshadowed, certainly if you're over in Ireland watching the action from Leopardstown. But this has been won by some top notches down the years. You know, Best Mate won it, some really good ones, Lompresse, Bristol de Mai, Punnock has got a good record in it as well. So for me, I think Hermes Allen, I think he'll win this. I think he'll win it well.
Yeah, this is the chance, really, isn't it, for him to show what he can do going forward to Cheltenham. And he does look the one of the five that perhaps is the one that could threaten in a festival. So interesting to see. Johnny, a strong view on this. Are you in the Hermes Allen camp?
I could make the argument that he should be odds on right now, and he's not. I think he's by far the best horse in the race, and it'd be a surprise to me if he doesn't come out and win. You know, Kempton is behind a horse that seemingly is a, you know, potential superstar. And, you know, his run at Newbury was very impressive before that. So it's pretty hard to argue that he's really done much wrong. I mean, the one that, you know, Le Patron, he's run well, but you'd be hard-pressed to say his form's as good. And then Jello, I mean, obviously, Lingfield last time got taken out at the first, so it's hard to know what he would have done, but on what he has done so far, it's hard to see him matching up to what Hermes Allen's achieved so far.
Okay, Keith, are we going to complete the hat trick for Hermes Allen?
Yeah, I think so. My views line broadly with Johnny's. I think he should, Newbury's the watchword here. He was never comfortable going Ile France's pace in the Carlton Star. He looked a lot more comfortable at Newbury and actually looked a really good prospect when he won that race at Newbury. He's a right favourite. I'd be very surprised if neither he nor Jello won. I would put in a wee positive for Jello because I think this trip's going to suit him. Has got some parallels. He's not as good as Lompresse, but he's got some parallels of that winning stablemate that won this race a couple of years ago. I'd be surprised if it wasn't one of those two that won. I think the market's got Hermes Allen about right. As I say, I would be swaying me away from the other three because I just think these 2 mile novice chasers, we talk about British novice chasers and a struggling British racing, that the real struggle is finding a pipeline of good 2 mile chasers. We're not getting it. That Henry VIII, Johnny's rated it low. It deserves to. It's the lowest. It was a poor grade one. So yeah, it's there for the taking for any horse of middle distance or staying distance that's up to it. Hermes Allen is demonstrably one of those. Jello, I think, is going to be.
Cool. Okay, so 4 out of 4 for Hermes Allen, as I think he'll be extremely difficult to beat too. And I agree with Johnny's point. I do think he should be odds on. Okay. Whether we all agree on the next is going to be a bit more different. It's a very tricky race. It's the Virgin Bet Heroes Handicap Hurdle, a race which sees the return of Transmission. The horse and Joe Anderson, who produced that immaculate, unbelievable sit to win with his horse at Plumpton last time. Whether he'll quite have the same luck today, we don't know. It's an extremely competitive 14-runner handicap. So what do we find? 15-runner handicap, should I say. Keith, we'll come to you first. Really meddling race, isn't it? You've got a strong view on it?
I don't. I'd be surprised if anybody else comes with the same horse that I've put up because he's one of the outsiders here. It's Gustavian, who's been shaping reasonably well over fences while jumping badly so far this season. So I'm interested that he's going back over hurdles here. You know, he's back to a mark of 1.32. Take the fences out of the way, I reckon he'd have won a chase off 1.32 by now. He's quite a talented animal. You know, he was second to Richmond Lake at Aintree in that horrible ground early in December, but again it was just sticky jumping that did for him. I would be giving him a chance at pretty huge odds back over hurdles.
Okay, interesting shout there for Gustavian for Keith. Brett, we've got extra place on offer here.
Yeah, so four places each way with Unibet, which is good because it just helps you out, because this is a, as you said, this is a real tricky race. The best backed here, or one of the sort of most significantly backed, is the 15 horse, that Good Luck Charm. Another runner for Anthony Honeywell, now into 10-1 from 20s. Ran a good race in the Lanzarote behind JJ Riley last time at Kempton. I mean, when I was sort of looking at the form, I was looking at what I fancy, and Ed Keeper was the horse that immediately springs to mind, obviously off the back of a good effort at Cheltenham last time, when probably should have won really, but made a right mistake. I think it was the last one, wasn't it? But I can't see Sam Thomas having two winners at Sandown today, because I've already tipped up Elvis Princess each way. He did get quite a hike in the ratings as well for that Newbury success, and then went up again despite being beaten at Cheltenham. So I just think Ed Keeper is really handicapped up to the hill there, which brings you down to St. Davy for John Joe O'Neill. It was a good effort, you know, decisive success at Ludlow last time, and beating Emma Tom. That's pretty strong form, to be honest, in the context of this race anyway. Again, he's been put up £6 in the ratings, but I think this is his first run in the handicap, only second run in the handicap. I think could be unexposed in, it's a race where, you know, you, as I said, you can make a case for plenty of them, but as I said, we are paying four places each way.
Sure. Interesting, St. David's. His only defeat is coming a grade one. So interesting to see what he can do in a race like this. St. Davy for Brett. Johnny, round us off. Got any? Got an outsider for us, or are you sticking with any favourites?
I've not got the strongest view on the race, but I remember Transmission making his debut at Wexford back in October 2022. And I really liked his debut run. You know, it was behind in the pocket, which unfortunately is out for the rest of the season. And I was really taken by that. And he sort of never reproduced that effort again while over in Ireland. He's since switching over here to Nilmar Holland, he's definitely an improved horse. And I think there's still definitely more to come from him. We definitely haven't seen the best of him. So I'd be expecting another improved performance. And at 7-1, or was it 7-1, I think? Something like that. I think he should be filling the places at the very least.
Well, hopefully it'll be a bit more smooth for him this time. I'll sign off with Scalamoffly off for Harry Durham. I don't know if I fudged that pronunciation, but nevertheless, we'll find out. Good form this season. First and finished second last time. Wasn't beaten too far. Looks to be an improver. And Harry Durham is just brilliant with these improving horses. He's having such a great time. Okay, and our final race at Sandown is the Virgin Bet Masters Handicap Chase. Another competitive handicap chase on the card. Anthony Honeywell, we discussed earlier, he's got the favourite Blackjack Magic. Interesting race, nonetheless. Keith, this is the sort of race we always look to you at, isn't it? Big handicap chase. What do you like?
Yeah, and it's an interesting race. It's top weight's only 139 rated, which is low for this race. It's 20 years since we had the top weight rated that low. And but there's still a lot of progressive young horses coming into it. There's a few that, Dom and Mary, funny old horse, Blackjack Magic, I thought were a really good Bet 365 Gold Cup trial, actually, the old Whitbreds last time at Ascot. And I know that Robbie, Annie Postman, who had coming off a big win on Annual Invictus last week, like Certainly Red, who I can definitely see the case for this sort of, they missed, there's a race at Wincanton that he won last year that was run yesterday that they didn't even quote him for this year. They must be eyeing up something like this. The horse I'm going to put up is a big price because I think he suffers from the opposite of name recognition, and that's a horse called Grozny, who's only recently come over to James Owen, the promising James Owen from Ireland. First run for the yard, he went off 25-1, finished second to Twin Jets, who was himself making his debut for Paul Nicholls at Doncaster that day. So, you know, running another stable switcher we're not necessarily fancied. And then second time up, he ran at Musselburgh. He was only beaten a half length by Jackpot de Choiselle, a really well fancied John McConnell horse there. And again, just it was another virtual career best from the horse. 3 miles is going to be the making of him, and he's only been put up £2 for that. With that form, with Jackpot de Choiselle, and now Harry Cobden's up too, of course, it's been Alex Chadwick riding the next time, and James Owen has tended to turn to Harry Cobden for his biggest ride so far. I just think Grozny is priced up at double figures and shouldn't be really. He's a horse that I can see going up about 6-1.
Good, and I was interested by him as well, and could get a form boost because Jackpot de Choiselle runs in the first live TV race at Musselburgh on Saturday. Johnny, strong opinion on the big handicap chase?
I've not got a strong view, but one that caught my eye is outsider of the field, Marauder. I think for whatever reason, he's been running really poorly this season. But if you go back to April, you know, second at Sandown was very good. One at Doncaster before that. Okay, had a couple of poor runs, and he's not quite down to his last winning mark, but he's below the mark he ran at Sandown last time. It's a track he goes well at. There's an argument that maybe he needs slightly further. And, you know, they're struggling with what's wrong with him. But they have put a tongue tie on. Now, whether that's they know there's an issue, whether it's speculative and they're just hoping to bring improvement, is anyone's guess. Yeah. But I think if he does return to the form he's shown last season, he will be able to have a say in the race.
I was on the show when he ran at Kempton and put him up as a bit of a flyer at massive odds that day, and he just ran like a train. He's probably a horse that wants a bit of better ground. So I thought at Kempton he was going to get that. You know, he'd run in like the Beecher when it was horrible and stuff like that. And I just thought that might have been a day bounce back, and he showed nothing. Apart from that, I'd have been really interested in Marauder.
Yeah, interesting. I remember he won, I think it's the 3-mile 6 Exeter. He's probably as tough as a test as it goes. And it was pretty, to be fair, the ground wasn't ridiculously slow that day. And I always think if a horse can win that test, they must need to be pretty slow, because that's about as tough as it goes around there. Okay, Brett, on the Masters.
I mean, I must admit, I'm not a fan of these 3-mile chases at the end of the day on when the ground is going to be really testing. We are price boosting Dom of Mary, though. So if you think that David Bridgewater's horse will win, you will get the best odds. But of course, it's got to defy £9 for winning at Plympton last time. That's quite a hefty ride. Kestrel Valley is obviously a massive improve. I think looked at its form, it won off something like 81 or something like that. Now we're at 227 in just 5 runs. But this is a career high mark for that one. But I quite like Certainly Red. Wanted the selection, you know, off a winning handicap mark of 1.35, as Keith's already alluded to, won that race at Wincanton last February. Ran a decent enough run in the Mandarin at Newbury. This is slightly easier, but, you know, he's clearly in good form. And I just think the fact it's back off a winning mark is, again, a tentative selection. But these are races I tend to not get too involved in.
OK, so he might not be a fan of a race, but he still tipped us a 12-1 chart. Was it 12-1 chance, sorry? This is your Certainly Red. Certainly Red, sorry. I was
Black
getting
Jack Magic is the best back, just to reassure what Keith was saying. Really strong support for that one now.
Okay, very interesting. Not surprised, really, given he looks a progressive horse in the lineup. Okay, that's all from Sandown. After the break, we'll be looking at the racing from Musselburgh.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out. You're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with 3 Uniboosts every day on any horses you want. Unibet, you're on.
Okay. We are back for part 2, where we'll be looking at the action at Musselburgh. A really good card across Saturday, but also Sunday. And we start with a race named after one of the greats of recent years, the Bet365 Froden Novices Limited Handicap Chase. An intriguing race. Brett, how do they price up?
Well, Mon Morale's our favourite. And I suppose it has got the best form in the book, but he just hasn't won for a while, has he, really? That's going to be my only sort of question mark for him. Did have quite a few entries this weekend. It was sort of entered all over the place. The fact that Pornicus is going all the way up from Ditchy to Musselburgh must feel, you know, they must be, you know, think this horse has got a cracking chance. But I just think he's vulnerable. The fact he doesn't quite win as often as he should, although is this one of his easiest opportunities for quite some time. I like Marble Sands. I think he's got some rock solid form. And I'm not quite sure they know what trip he tends to like. They ran him over 2 miles, 3 miles, or 2.5, 3 miles, back down to 2.5 today. But, you know, that was a good effort this season. So for me, Marble Sands. But I suppose there's going to be no excuses for Mon Morale today, is there? That's for sure.
No, absolutely. Yeah. Well, fair to say, but I think this is another case of Paul Nichols prize money hunting, that while he's appeared up here, he does support this meeting because the money is so good. Keith, we'll come to you. You mentioned Jackpot de Soisel in your last selection. The horse that beat, this is the horse that beat him last time. This is the horse that beat your selection in the Masters last time, Grosny. Are you fancying the double from that form to go and win?
I'm going to put it up. I think it's a very competitive race this for a fairly small field and for 25 grand. You know, Mon Morale could blow them apart. This probably hasn't been the plan, has it, to end up at Musselburgh this weekend, but it's probably a track that will suit him a little bit more than Cheltenham. Is I'm not sure he particularly loves the hill. General Officer, not set on his attitude, to be honest. They missed loads of fences the day he won. Marble Sands, horse I like, jumped left constantly in the Calto Star, so I'd be wanting to see him go the other way. So yeah, I end up here looking at Jackpot de Choiseul. That run with Grosny, he went hard in that race, still beat Grosny. 16 lengths back to the third horse called Robinstown, who's in good enough form to go out and win a claiming hurdle next time. So it's a good bit of form, that. And yeah, I think after he won that race here last month, this was a natural race to come from. So this is the plan with him, in a way it possibly hasn't been for Mon Morale. So it nearly double the price. I think Jackpot de Choiseul is the bet.
Okay, Jackpot de Choiseul for Keith and Marble Sands for Brett. Johnny, are you sticking with any of the two boys or going a bit rogue?
No, we're going different. I do actually quite like General Officer here. I mean, Keith's spot on when he says they missed load of fences. They jumped 6 of the 15, which, you know, it's essentially a flat race at that point. But he still won well, so can't take anything away from him. But then last time at Aintree on Boxing Day, he finished second, but I think that was a very good piece of form. The time stacked up really well that day, and I think he's still got improvement coming in a fair bit, and I think he's actually ahead of his mark here. And I think he's the one that they've got to beat for me. And I think he's got a really, really good chance at General Officer.
OK, three very different selections for the first at Musselburgh. And we come on to the Bet365 Edinburgh National Handicap Chase, a really competitive race. You've seen Gavin Conroll pretty much mop up every race there was to win at Cheltenham so far this season. He's now going to Scotland with Peaches and Cream. Apologies already for the pun, Keith. Are we sweet on him?
Oh dear. I mean, he's got a great chance, isn't he? And Cromwell's not going to pass up the opportunity to run in this race. It's worth twice as much as it was last year because Musselburgh put a load of money into this race to help this meeting get premier meeting status. So, I mean, in that sense, it's a very competitive field in a field of 12. It's sort of disappointing that I still think the horse that should be favourite is the horse that won it last year. Now it's worth twice as much. That's Magna Sam. That was his first run when he won this race last year for Alistair Ralph. He's only run twice since. The first of them was in the Scottish National. I mean, a massive move into the straight that day and just got dead tired at the end, having made that big move and only got beat 9 lengths by Kitty's Light in that race. And his only run since was over this track. It had the look of a pint opener. He finished out the picture, really, but it was just a run to blow off the cobwebs, really. And it actually took away his perfect course record. He was 3 from 3 here before that, so he obviously knows. Musselburgh is a funny old track, and it's a track where if you get a course specialist, you want to latch onto them, because if they can handle it around here, then you want to be with them. And Magnus Sam's only £4 higher than when he won the race last year. The horse he beat last year was Captain Catastock, who went on to have a good spring himself. So yeah, I just thought Magnus Sam ought to really be favourite for this race. I think if you swap the trainers between him and Peaches and Cream, Magnus Sam would be clearly favourite. So yeah, I thought he was the one for this race.
Yep, okay, we're on Magnus Sam for Keith. Brett, what do you like?
Well, I was going to go for Innes Orr, but I think Keith's made quite a good case for Magnus Sam, to be honest, so perhaps I should be changing my mind. This actually, I think, is a good little race, isn't it? You can fancy quite a few of them, yeah. Innes Orr, for me, is the interesting one. Visors for the first time, ran in cheap pieces, funny enough, at market raising before that. So they clearly feel this horse needs just something just to help him concentrate. So hopefully the visors are just a little bit more effective, I think, than the cheap pieces. Won the stairs race on this card last year over hurdles. I'm sure Keith can probably tell me, or might not, but he's a novice. Novices have won this race down the years. I wouldn't think there have been too many of them. But, you know, quite an exposed Innes Orr. So for me, what's a good race where I do like quite a few of them. Universal Fall is another one I think you can throw into the mix. But yeah, Innes Orr for me in the Edinburgh National.
I think there has been a novice winner of this race, and I think Lucinda Russell trade. I think Mighty Thunder was a novice when he won this.
Oh, there we go then. That
yeah, he because he wanted to win the Scottish National next time.
Yeah. Should also say, gents, this is a money back race, isn't it, Brett?
Yes.
Second or third?
Okay, I'm glad one of us are on the ball. Yes, if you back the second or the third in this race, you will get your money back at cash with Unibet.
Good. Okay. Johnny, sign us off.
I mean, I'd be lying if I said I was it's a race that really got me excited. I had a really strong view on, but I think Christopher Wood will have a fair each way chance, but it's not a race I particularly want to get stuck into myself.
Okay, nope, nothing wrong with that. And we go on to the Scottish County Hurdle, the 250 at Musselburgh, a really interesting race as well. Another really competitive race, as Keith mentioned there. The focus on this meeting to give it Premier Racing status rewarded, really. It's a competitive card. It's a really good betting card. And I think this race in particular, I looked at this for quite a while and I'm still very much scratching my head. Benson leads the market here. Come back to you, Johnny. Benson favourite, are we going against him? It's a tough race, isn't it? Really tough race.
I mean, it's really competitive, isn't it? But I mean, it's, once again, I mean, you've got lots of decent prices on offer, but that's arguably shows that it's that much trickier to fit your winner of the race. I mean, I think you can make a case for Benson, obviously won well last time out. Your Honour obviously won well last time in Limerick in December as well. But I think Affadil actually sort of standing out to me. He's not quite been putting it all together this season. But I think there's definitely a race there, and it's an encouraging run at the same at the same course last time. I think dropping down in trip will help, and I think he should go very well here.
Yeah, okay, so we start with Affadil for Johnny. Brett, this is an extra place race, is it?
Yeah, so four places each way if you're betting in this 250 at Musselburgh with Unibet. Your Honour's obviously the one you've got to take pretty seriously, comes over from Ireland, but has taken quite a hike in the weights for that success at Limerick. I agree with Johnny. I think Affadil's the one to take from here. Stepping back down in trip, which I think will definitely suit all of his wins have been over this distance. So that is a big, big plus for me. You know, was thought good enough to run in the Unibet Greatwood Hurdle a little bit earlier on this season, but pulled up in that race, but has come back with two solid enough runs in defeat, albeit over 2.5 miles. And then First Impression could be another one just to throw into the mix as well for Craig Nicol and John and Sean Quinn. Now, of course, got some smart form on the flat, but equally effective over hurdles as well. Like to sort of sit quite close to the pace. And I think, you know, might not be that badly priced at around sort of 8 to 9 to 1. But yeah, Affadil for me and for Paul Nicol's in that 250 where we are paying four places. And just quickly, if you want to move a Collingham, that's been really, really well back now, a 14 to 1 shot from 25s.
Okay, very interesting. So that's two shouts for Affadil. Keep, before we come on to this race, I mean, we discussed Elixir de Nuts last week, didn't we, on the show? And blimey, it went well for young Freddie Ginner there. He's, of course, aboard Affadil. Yeah, we said Elixir de Nuts has been bounced back to his best. He's written us off by how well he has improved.
Oh, yeah, we said that, different horse this year, didn't we? I didn't think he was about to beat John Bond, but I think to think John Bond helped him. To be honest, we can be fair in saying that, but you know, the horse has probably still run, he's broken the 160 barrier now in RPRs, and that's the horse he looked when he was a novice hurdler, and he's finally got there, so it's real testament. I always think those horses that eventually deliver what they've shown, haven't looked like they've got in the head, that's a real good training performance. So I'm well done. Freddie Ginger gets the headlines because he's 18 and won a Grade One, but big up to Joe Tizard for getting that horse and belatedly delivering the promise he's always looked like he's had.
Yeah, sure. Is Freddie going to win here?
I'm not putting him up. We've talked about calling on being well back. He won this race last year, and the horse that was second was Paris Encore, who has been catching my eye a little bit over fences so far this season. After he was second in this race, he went on to be fourth, not beaten far in the Scottish Champion Hurdle at the Scottish National Meeting in April. And there's two runs over fences this year. He's travelled like thunder and just not quite sort of been finishing as strongly as Marble Sands, who knows a good horse when he ran into him at Ayr, and then ran beaten a neck by Sean Soe last time at Doncaster. So back over hurdles now. He's a horse that has a good way of racing for Musselburgh. You know, they don't often come back up that straight. And he's evidently run well in the race before, so I thought he was interesting.
Okay, so Paris Encore signs off. Horse has been travelling well. And before we go on to the Dublin Race Festival, if you fancy watching back Paris Encore or any of the selections, you can do it on the Racing Post app. Okay, final part of the show is perhaps the one we're most excited about. It is the Dublin Racing Festival. 2 days of brilliant action and so many Cheltenham clues. Johnny, we know you look at Ireland. We know this is about as good as it gets for Irish racing. I mean, how good a weekend have we got? I mean, yes, there are a little few negatives. The Irish Gold Cup perhaps is no doubt about it. It's disappointing. But in terms of top level action, this is pretty good, isn't it?
Oh, it's great. We've just got Sunday's declaration through as well. And the 3:20 on Sunday, grade 3 handicap chase. So it's an absolute belter for people to get involved with. But we'll get onto that in due course.
I mean, come on, Johnny. We're all eager to hear what you fancy. You were telling us off air. You're quite optimistic for a big weekend.
Yeah, we're all going to the Caribbean off this weekend. Is what we've decided. There's quite a few horses I really like, and the first one's in the 1:20 on Saturday, and that is Jatara for Jessica Harrington. She's got obviously we saw Jade DeGruzzi win last weekend. Really impressively, it's gone into sort of 3-1 for the mare's novice hurdle at the festival. Jatara's got very similar form lines with a penny 100 and Pink in the Park, and is actually I've got slightly ahead of Jade DeGruzzi on ratings. And on what they've done so far, she should be favourite for this race at Leopardstown. And yeah, I mean, okay, there's improvement likely to come from the others in the race, but what they've done, she's way too big a price at 4-1. And I'm definitely having a bet on her at that price. And I've had a little bit non-runner, no bet on her for the mare's novice hurdle at Cheltenham as well at 10-1. She looks very overpriced for that. And then at 2:25, we've got the Irish Arkle, and obviously got Marine National, short price favourite. Fasil Vega lines up here, which obviously, you know, there's talk of him going up in trip, which I never really believed. I think he ran, for whatever reason, didn't really run his race last time out. And I still think there's a chance he could be better than Marine National, which, OK, it's a bold shout, but I'm going to take another chance on him on Saturday. And, you know, what if Marine National goes and bolts up and wins the Arc at Cheltenham like everyone thinks he will do? Fair enough. But I still think Fasil Vega's got more to offer than what we've seen. 3:35, you've got the Gold Cup. I mean, if it's run at any sort of pace, I can't see Galloping the Champs being beaten, to be completely honest. I know Fast or Slow is beaten in the last twice they've run against each other, but I'll be very surprised if that happens for a third time. And then the 4:40, you've got A Dream to Share staying in bumpers, having won the champion bumper last year, which I'm not sure I'm entirely on board with, but that's the way it works. Not sure I'll necessarily have a bet in the race, but I have backed You Ought to Know for the champion bumper at Cheltenham. I think he's not been seen since August, which is a bit of a concern. I wouldn't want to back him on Saturday, but I think he's potentially very good and could be one of the best horses in that Willie Mullingyard. We're still to find out, but I do really like how he shaped on his previous run so far. And he's 2 from 2, you can't really take anything away from him. And then we got on Sunday as well, so the fun just keeps on coming. In the 1:10, Gaelic Warrior does go for this race over 2.5.
Right decision.
And he's got an even money. But I'm going to be with Fact to File. I think he's potentially the best novice chaser there. And I do think at some point, Fact to File could well win the Gold Cup of Cheltenham in the next couple of years. I think he could be very, very good. And that's
just
that's
on Gaelic Warrior, Johnny. Is this the right decision, do you think, with Gaelic Warrior? Do you think he should go to this distance or 2 miles? Do you think they've made the right call?
I almost think they weren't sure. I think he'll operate over both without any issues. But I'm not sure they think he's their best horse over 2 or 2.5, and that maybe is one of the reasons they were umming and ahhing which route to go. You know, if they did decide to move Fasil Vega up and trip, then I think he would have gone over 2 miles. I think he's sort of almost filling gaps. Well, he's not filling gaps, he's obviously very good. But I think he could have run well over 2 miles, he ran well over the strip, but I think he probably wouldn't have won. I don't think he would on Sunday, and I don't think he would have won on Saturday either.
Okay, Just the three. I've make it here. You're tipping up Jatara in the 120 on Saturday, Fassel Vega the 225 on Saturday, and Factor Fall in the 110 on Sunday. Yeah. But you ought to know, is your champion bumper fancy that we should all keep an eye out for?
Yeah, I think if he runs well on Saturday, then it's definitely one to be keeping an eye on.
Perfect. Right, we've gone through the cards there. We've got three winners from Johnny, who's feeling optimistic. Keith, how do you assess the 2 days in Leopardstown?
I mean, it's not... I'm going to watch them all because it's going to be so important for Cheltenham. I'm not going to be doing much betting. They're not the most competitive races. That handicap chase on Sunday, I'm definitely going to watch that. You get the national winner in that half the time. It's going to be a really interesting race to watch. It's probably asking too much of the amount of racing of in Ireland that I watch to actually have a good opinion on it. I've had one bet, and it's in the Irish Gold Cup on Saturday. I've just got a wee sneaky feeling this could be a bit of a boil over. Gallop and Deschamps put up a mighty effort. That's only 5 weeks ago in the Savills. Can't help but taking a wee bit out of him doing that. Fast or slow, I don't think he's as good as we've rated him. It's all based on that Punchestown form, and Punchestown's basically the twilight zone to me. The form there never works out. I've ended up having a wee bit at 40s in I Am Maximus. He's won an Irish National. He's won the Drinmore first time up. He got hampered at the first and possibly bounced when he was in the saddles. He went off 6-1 for that race. And yet he's 40-1 for a much less deep race now on the basis of, you know, a bit of a culture shock and possibly bounced. He's a horse. He should be 14, 16s. He's 40s. So I've had a little bit of a bet on him, but that is about the extent of my betting this week at the DRF. I just take a big watching brief at it, and I spend the next 3-4 weeks just catching up with it all, really digesting it and using it to inform how I bet at Cheltenham. It's not the best betting meeting in the world, but it's one you cannot miss.
No, absolutely. And just to clarify, the race you meant on Sunday, the handicap chase, the 3:20 is the handicap chase to watch with a view to the Grand National in mind. Not just all about Cheltenham, there's the Grand National to find the winner of as well. And a 40-1 shout, Keith, I was not expecting that when we came on this morning.
It is pretty speculative. Like, Gallifinch is a proper, proper horse, but he's blotted before. And it just, yeah, it's one of those that, I think last year in the same race, Tom Siegel and Paul Keeney both put up the outsider of the lot in the Irish Gold Cup. It's a race where you can fancy a boil over, because they're all between races, you know. Conflated is going for the cross country at Cheltenham, isn't he? Fast or Slow is definitely getting primed for the Gold Cup, and they were going to run him in the Dublin chase because this is just a prep. And Gallop in the Shop's the same. He's got 2.5 months to get over that Savills run before his big thing, the Gold Cup again. It could just be a boil over.
Yeah, Ed Wolf won at a massive price not too long ago in the race. So, as you say, it does have a tendency to be won by an outsider. And Keith, perhaps there will be one on Sunday. Brett, brilliant 2 days, isn't it? What do we like?
Yeah, it's a cracking. It's amazing, Richie, really. This is, I think, the first when they amalgamated the two fixtures, it was in 2018 and sort of created the Dublin Racing Festival. And it's so quickly in such a short space of time, it really has sort of captured the imagination of the racing public. And, you know, I'll be flying over tomorrow, and sort of be loads of other Brits flying over for the 2 day festival. And, you know, okay, yeah, the fields might not be that big and you're not going to get Rich back in all these odds on shots, but there's some great racing to be had. I mean, I remember Lossie Mouth getting beaten in the juvenile race 12 months ago by Garland Marceau. And of course, obviously that form was reversed in the Triumph. I was watching a piece on Twitter earlier on this week, and Willie Mullins was talking about obviously a lot of his runners over the 2 days. And he did mention a horse called Madsborough, who runs in the grade one juvenile at 150 on Saturday. Comes here with a similar sort of profile to that of Sergino, just won that one race over in France at Auteuil. And then obviously we saw what he did last week when he beat Burdett Road in the Triumph Trials. So yeah, I think he's around a 14-1 shot with Unibet at the minute for the Triumph. Obviously you've got Stormheart in there, who's one of the shortest priced of those Irish train runners. So no, I'll be interested to see what Matchbrook can do, and if there can be something emerge as a bit of a threat to Sergino in races like the Triumph Hurdle. But if you go onto unibet.co.uk, we've got loads of specials whereby, you know, you think Marine National can win here and then go on and score in the Arc. We've got prices for those, and the likes of Gaelic Warrior and Gallop in the Champs as well. So go onto the website and you get all those specials with regards to what wins and can potentially follow up at the festival in what is it? 4 weeks time, 5 weeks time? Not long.
Almost five now, yeah. I think, yeah. Interesting you say about Sergino. I spoke to Nick Kenton this week and he was saying, well, you know, I was very happy with what happened, but He was very wary about what's going to happen over the next few weeks with Sugino. He said, Willie Mullins Racing Festival will sure to throw up another horse. So we'll wait and see.
I think we went 7-4 from 4-1 after the race. Mm. And I checked a minute ago and we're 11-10. So the muddy has continued to go down for Sugino.
Okay, interesting to hear. No surprise given how well he won on Saturday. Just before we come on to Naps, boys, any other big fancies from around the tracks? Start with you, Johnny.
No, I'm going to stick with what we've gone with there. There's plenty enough there.
Plenty to go at the Dublin Race Festival. Keith?
No, there's not anything. I had a good look at the 4 o'clock at Musselburgh, sort of race I like to get involved in, but I thought the market looked right enough when I looked at it. So, yeah, I'm afraid no away bets for me this week.
No, that's fine. And Brett, sign us off. Have you got anything for us?
I've got a Wern.
There we go.
First race at Wetherby. So it's not an ITV race. It's also called Strong Bow. She's owned by James and Jean Potter, who I do a lot of work for. She was going to win it, but catch it last time. And she sort of jumped the hurdle fine, but just sort of stumbled and fell and then shipped Jordan Naylor. But she's a filly. She's gone the right way. That's, she's quite progressive. And as I said, I'm not sure what's on the races. I think it's a mare's novice hurdle anyway. So Strong Bow for me. For Nigel Twiston Davis, going all the way up to Wetherby.
Okay, I will throw one more in there, and that's at Musselburgh on Sunday. I am quite keen on the favourite in the Scottish Triumph Hurdle, Liari, over the Jack Jones horse who won at Cheltenham. I think Liari is a really smart horse, and I think this is a logical bit of training from Paul Nicholls. I can imagine they'll probably miss out the Triumph and go back to Aintree with Liari. He looks pretty smart. I think Musselburgh will suit him really well. I think he's a very smart horse in the making. I think he'll win them the Scottish Triumph Hurdle on Sunday. Right, boys, let's come on to Naps, and we'll start with you, Keith.
Yeah, there's naps, isn't there? I mean, this is one of those this'll win naps, but a very wrong price in the 2 o'clock Sandown for me. That's Red Rookie.
Okay, so Red Rookie in the 2 o'clock. Johnny?
I'm going to go with General Officer in the 140 at Musselburgh. I think he'll be too good for the rest of them.
Okay, and finally Brett.
Yeah, Innis Orr for me in the 215 at Musselburgh, trained by Lucinda Russell. I think she's got a 21% strike rate at the track this season. So Innis Orr for me in the first time visor, and a race where Unibet are giving you your cash back, money back as cash if you back the second or the third.
Okay, an extra bonus. And I am going to go for the very first one of the day that we discussed, the 125 at Sandown, Classic Anthem, knocking on the door this season. I think it's a competitive race. I'm keen to take on Jinko Blue, so Classic Anthem for me. Before we go, boys, as Sam, the usual host, always does, what we got planned for the weekend. Johnny, I mean, I can imagine you'd be sat in front of a television hoping your Cheltenham still look good.
Yeah, pretty much. Just watching lots and lots of racing, mostly, and watch football and all the rest of it, but nothing too major.
Keith, Cheltenham clues are plenty, isn't there, to look out for?
Yeah, and I'll be probably catching up with Leopardstown more than anything. I'll be watching a lot of the British stuff because I'll be betting more than that. We are just got a family day out on Saturday and not an awful lot else on, but I get Sunday to catch up and start my Leopardstown research because I'll be watching little else for the next 5 weeks.
Yeah, they're going to need a few watches, aren't they, to the thirds or fourths for all those handicaps as well, as we've seen in years gone by. So plenty to look out for, even not just the winners, but the ones in behind as well. Brett, finally?
Yeah, well, I'm leaving on a jet plane off to Ireland tomorrow morning. The first year I went over there, I made the mistake of booking a flight back on the Sunday evening, which I failed to board. So now I've got it all sorted. I would book the sort of 3 or 4 o'clock flight back to Birmingham on the Monday, just so I can have a nice lie-in on the Monday morning. Now, looking forward to a good 2 days over there.
Okay, good. Well, Brett's got all the tips from the team for the weekend as he heads over to Ireland. Thank you very much for joining us again. That was the Racing Postcast, sponsored by Unibet. We'll be back next weekend to bring you another episode. If you enjoy these shows, please make sure you rate, review and subscribe wherever you're listening to us. Until next time, goodbye and gamble responsibly.